to teach today, but I want to start today by, I'm going to really quick pray for us, real quick, so everyone just, if you'll bow your heads. So dear God, I just pray right now. I just pray that you just, whatever you have planned today, we just focus on you, Lord, and we follow what you have, Lord. I thank you for all these guys coming out today and just getting to encounter you, Lord. And we just pray that as we go through today, that you just open our hearts and just radically change us, Lord. Amen. So while I was praying and preparing for today, I felt like God said, and I talked to the pastor, I felt like God said today's like a day of commitment. And whenever I hear that, growing up, whenever I heard that word, I was like, oh, great. You're going to ask me to start like taking chairs out to different things and serving with the kids and all this stuff. And really, as I've grown up, God's changed that. And he's kind of shown me that when he talks about commitment and when he talks about that type of stuff, it's not just serving, but also committing in everything in my life, right? It involves relationship with him. It involves, even if you want to commit to this church and start serving, you know, serving in ministries, serving in different areas. Me and my wife help with the youth ministry. We run the youth ministry. If y'all want to help, hey, come on, you know. It is a fun ministry, and we've been serving there for six years, and God's really moved powerfully. It's so awesome, and I love the youth ministry for one simple fact, well, many facts, but the main one is that we get to help these youth and shape them and get them to where they can have a relationship with God. And then all of a sudden you've seen guys teach or move in God's power or talk. And you're getting to see like teenagers realize that they can operate in the same power as everyone else. They can walk in the same relationship with God as everyone else. So cool. And it's so cool to get to see that. So while sitting there, I typed up last night, I was finishing up my teaching. And I got a couple words, and I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to share this or mention this, but I typed them up just to see, and I felt like God said, I saw a guy in a greenish, it was an odd color shirt, and what's funny is God showed me a picture of the shirt, and I was like, oh, Josh Carillion, my friend, he's got that same shirt, and the dude shows up in that shirt, so I'm like, it's got to be. And so so I got a word. First off, I got the number. And what's crazy is that I said like the third row from the back, which I'm counting that back row as a row. So you're on the third row, bud. But I felt like God said that number 16, I don't know if that means anything to you. But also I felt like God said, and if you don't know Josh, Josh has served in many different areas in our church. He served in the youth ministry. I was a youth when he was serving the youth ministry, and we had amazing times. I worked with Josh for, you know, years. Me and him spent time in the truck working for Factor, and he's an amazing guy, and he really has a heart for seeing people changed, you know. And I felt like God said, so I typed up this word, so this isn't just me seeing Josh and saying it, but I typed up this word, and I felt like God said that you've been involved in a lot of different areas, and if you look at it just looking at what you've done, you think, oh, well, he's served in a lot of areas. He's done a lot of stuff with God, but I feel like what God said is that you've served in these areas, and it's prepared you for where you're going next, what you're going to accomplish, and where he's put you in different ministries, and now he's going to get you to a place where, like, maybe, I don't know if you're running ministry or whatever, but I feel like God's called you to walk this out even more. So I'm super excited about that, man, because that's a good dude right there. I also got a purple shirt, and I felt like it was I saw Miss Kelly, and I was like, yes! But I got the number 56. I don't know if that means anything to you. But also I heard God say that, which I think it's very true. If you also, Miss Kelly was in the youth ministry growing up, and it was just awesome. She was always there. She was very wise, and she always could just give words, and it was really cool having her in the youth ministry. But I felt like God said that you're, and it was a weird picture, like it, you're known in like the heavenly realms. You're known not just by the wisdom that you have, but like almost that you put off a fragrance of wisdom. Like whenever you walk in the room, people sense that. Like it's, and you can almost walk in the room and it's like, there's a, you feel it enter the room. And so I feel like God's really gifted you with not just that, but a wisdom that surpasses what even we can understand. And I'd like to actually pray right now for you. So dear God, I thank you for Miss Kelly. I thank you for the wisdom that she brings our body. And I thank you for just who she is and how she brings that about. It's not in a certain set order, but she just brings it out in every area that she impacts this body, Lord. It's not in ministry. It's in just being her that she releases wisdom and actually raises the level in which we can walk out, Lord. And we thank you for that blessing and gift of the person who she is, Lord. I also saw that she loves well. She's a person who genuinely cares about people, who wants to see people better themselves, Lord. And so we thank you for that. We just say that she's going to continue, and then not just that, but that's going to multiply in her life, Lord. Amen. Good work. Good job. She's awesome. I also got a white dress. I saw you have some flowers on it, but I saw Miss Jessica, you had a white dress on. And so I saw, I was like, when I first, and each one had a number, which I don't know how much they mean, but I saw, I thought God said 60, and I'm like, oh, and then I wrote it down 60, and then God was like, you know, he said, and then I was like, man, that just doesn't feel right, and then he said 6D, which I don't know if that means anything to you, and so I corrected it and typed it up, but I feel like God said that you're someone who's called not just to walk with God, but like to dance with God. And in that, and it might not even be physically dancing. It might, I think it partially is, but it's a relationship with God to where it just flows. And it doesn't just like step, but like it's just a natural flow of your life in the walk with God. So I think that's really good. I would like to pray for you also. So, dear God, I thank you for Miss Jessica. I thank you for what she brings to this body. And as she just continues, I believe she's already releasing that, just the flowing with the Holy Spirit and just relationship with you. And I just ask that as she continues to do that, that it just multiplies in her life and that you just bless her in all areas of her life, Lord. Amen. Awesome. Good job, guys. Awesome. We have an amazing group of individuals in this whole church, and you literally, you could sit here and just point out amazing qualities in every single person. And I really feel like, I think I do it almost every time I teach, I think it's so important to call out the greatness in each other, not just privately but in front of everyone. So now we're going into the teaching. So I felt like the past few months, you know, during all this pandemic, all this kind of chaos, I felt like further from God than I ever was. You know, about 4 or 5 months ago, I felt pretty far away from God. I didn't feel that connection that I'd always felt. And started really seeking God out about it. And I realized something as I was doing that. When all the, you know, a year ago when all the lockdowns started happening, when all this stuff, we started not meeting, like the church took a break respecting what the leadership of the state asked us to do. We, for the first time in my life, I wasn't at church 2 to 3 days a week, you know. Like all growing up, ever since I can remember, I was at church just constantly. And now I'm not at church. And through that, what I realized is that my relationship with God was actually very fragile. And it was very frail. Like it was dependent upon consistently being working in a ministry or doing this or just acts. And actually, I found out that I didn't really even have a relationship with God. I just had a routine that I consistently did. And so it really messed me up because I've always grown up as a very passionate person. I want to see our youth group change. I want to see my friends touched by God. But when I looked at it deeply, it was just all habit pattern. It was a routine. I was just going through the motions of what I thought consistently a relationship with God looked like. And so as I started talking to God about that, he really started teaching me about relationship with him and what it looks like and what it's really called to be. And that's what I hope to bring to y'all today and talk about. And some of y'all, you know, I believe we have all different type. We're at all different levels of a relationship with God. Some of y'all feel like you're the best you've ever been, and that's great. And some of y'all are maybe at the same spot I was, you know, where you're just feeling that disconnect. And as I felt that disconnect, this all types of stuff came into my life. Fear, that I'd really never experienced a whole lot of fear, and just anxiety and just judgment and insecurities in myself. And I was like, man, where is this coming from? And I realized that it was from the lack of a relationship with him. Once I was taken out of this place, that I wasn't, like my relationship kind of dwindled. And so we're going to talk about that today. And so in the midst of all that, in the midst of me figuring out, like God showing me all this, I heard God pretty clearly. He said to me, Tyler, I set you aside. I set you all aside. And I wrote it down. He said, I paid a price so that you'd be my son, not an employee. And what I realized is day in, day out, when I came up here, I wasn't having a relationship with God. I was just clocking in. And I was just taking a seat. I might be doing the work. I might be doing what I felt like my job was at the time, but there was no attachment to it. It was just motions. It was just me clicking in and clicking out and just accomplishing the task. And God said, man, I've called you to so much more. And he's called me to a place of relationship to where it impacts the people around me. Not just in here, right? I can give words all day. I can say, oh, God's called you to this great stuff. But if I don't live that out, then what does it really do? If when I go to work and I live work and they go, oh, you go to church, and they can't tell by the life that I live, then what's the point in it, really, you know? Because everyone in here is called to live a life that you go, man, something's different about that person. And not just by actions, but when you look at someone, you can tell they're different. Man, they carry themselves a different way. Man, you can see something in their eyes. I love a story. There's Todd White, and he'd be on the streets praying for people, praying for the sick. And there was a few people that he prayed for. He goes, man, your eyes, something's in your eyes that I've never seen before. And he'd get to talk to God about them, to them, and release what he had. And man, it is so amazing that they could just see it in his eyes. And I feel like we're all called to that, right? There's no hindrance to where we can't, well, I can't do that. That's someone else's gifting. No, you're all called to release the gospel in y'all's way. So I think that's something that's really big for me. I want people when I go to work to realize that something's different. And I don't want them to treat me different, but I want them to realize that, hey, you know, something's different about this guy, and I can share what's going on in my life. It's happened lately, since I started walking this out, I've seen it more recently, is that at work, all of a sudden, guys are like, yeah, man, I've got this going on in my life. I'm like, man, I've been working here 3 years, and you've never even brought this up. And they're like, well, man, I just got to talk to somebody. And it's because I'm starting to realize that I can walk this out. I can be this person, right? So the first place I want to go to is, I'm not going to read because, I don't know, that's just, like, I've always enjoyed just telling a story. And so I like painting a picture. I like, when I read the Bible, I believe in reading the Bible. I believe in soaking in God's Word. But when I talk about the passages, I like to paint a picture maybe in a different way. So we're going to talk about the parable of the two sons, Luke 15, if you want to read it, Luke 15, 11 through 31. And so in this, and I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing, so if you're like, that's not accurate, but I'm just paraphrasing, guys. Don't roast me up here. So basically what's going on is that there's these two sons and this father, and he's got all this wealth. He's got all this, all these things. He's built basically almost like an empire in this. He's got all this unlimited resources for them, basically. And the first son, what happens is he goes, hey, you know, I want my inheritance now. Like, I know that normally I get my inheritance when you die, but I want it now. And so the father divides it up and gives him his inheritance. And he leaves, goes to another country, just loses all the money on just all different types of stuff, and finds out that he's coming short on his money. And what happens is a famine hits the land, right? And so all of a sudden he's starving. He's got no money in a foreign land. And he's working for a farmer, makes a deal to work for a farmer. And he's like, man. And he's like getting so hungry that he sees the pig food. And he's like, man, that looks pretty good. You know, I know it's pig food, but come on now. Beggars can't be choosers. And then he realizes, he has a moment of clarity. He goes, man, the people in my father's house, the servants, they eat 10 times better than this. What am I doing? I'm just going to go back, work for my dad, and I can just work as a servant. And I see it. You know, all right, so I'm going to go to dad. I'm going to go, dad, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done what I did. Like he's building himself up, and you see him, he's rehearsing. He's like, all right, you gotta say it this way so he believes you. And you know, you're trying to get the emotions. He goes, I think I can force a tear, maybe. Like, we'll see. And he gets up there and he starts in. He goes, Scott, dad, I've messed up. And dad completely ignores him. He sees him from a far distance, runs to him, robes him with the finest robe and puts a ring on his finger and restores him back to where he was, right? And what's crazy is about the first son, is the first son, he took that relationship for granted. He walked away from something great that he had so much more than just an inheritance there, right? He had a father who loved him, who was always there for him, who supported him and believed in him. He had so much more to give than just money, right? And land and stuff. And what's crazy is, I see a lot of it in youth, is we get these youth and they're broken and they're hurting and all this stuff. And we show them who they are. We raise them up to the standard. And then it's like they get this peace for a moment. And then once they graduate out, they almost forget. And they don't understand that God had so much more for them than just healing in this moment or this area of their life. He had so much more than wealth and all this stuff. Like he's called us to be sons. He's called us to walk this out. And so, continue on the story, there's a second son. And as the father restores this son, as he brings this son back, as he goes, you're in, like, praises him, they kill the fattened calf, they have a party. And the son goes, hey, what's going on in there? You know, he's out in the fields. Oh, your brother came back and they're throwing a big party. And he refused to go in there. And I think this more or less happened. This is where I'm at a lot of the time. He refused to go in there. And the dad said, hey, man, there's a crazy party in there. Your brother's back. We got all the food you can eat. Come on, it's going to be fun. And I love the way this translation says it. Is it says that he said, I did everything you asked me. I never showed up late. I never disobeyed what you said. I constantly, anytime you asked me to go do something, I did it. And yet, I never had a party. I never had the wealth that you're giving him. I've never had these things. You've never done this stuff for me. And the father comes in and goes, you know what? That was yours all along. You just had to tap into that. You never asked me if you could have a fattened calf. You never asked me this stuff. And what's crazy is he didn't understand what being a son was. And so in that, he did all the stuff right. And I think this is where it hits me really personally, because for years, I felt like I did what was required of or asked of me. People would ask me, hey, man, can you go bring chairs in here? Oh, yeah, I'll go get chairs. And then, can you do this? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Can you help us set up this? Oh, I'm there, you know. And I did all this stuff. And then I'd be like, where's my recognition? Where's the party for me? Where's the this? And it wasn't in that. It was always there, right? It was being a son. There's always wealth for that son. The son had unlimited wealth. He just never realized that he could tap into it in any moment. And he didn't just have unlimited wealth. Like I said, the father had great stuff. He loved these sons the same way. He didn't change how he treated each individual one, right? He treated them both the same. It's just understanding, neither one of them fully understood how to walk out and be a son. God has unlimited resources for you. He has unlimited teaching. He has anointings. All of y'all have been gifted in anointing and have callings on your life, right? I love to tell all the youth this. You have a calling and destiny on your life, and God's always called you, and he's constantly calling you to this place, right? Because he wants to see you succeed. He's a good father, right? Doss, I have two boys, and I do not set the boys up to see if they make a right or wrong decision. I teach them what the right decision is, and they make their own decisions. Dawson, hey, bud, we don't grab a hot pan because it's going to burn you. And then, I'm going to see if he's going to burn himself. No, I don't do that. What the heck? These people are going to call on me. I'm going to get reported. No, I do not do that if anybody thinks that. No. He makes the decision out of his own will to touch that pan and burns himself. All of a sudden, boom. It's not because I'm a bad father. It's because the decision was made. He didn't understand. And so I really feel like that's a big deal. So first, number one is understanding the relationship we walk out as a son. And I feel like as we go through these, God just wants to bring all these up. And then also, he really wants you to pursue these things, you know. I'm going to teach, I'm going to talk, and we're going to have ministry time at the end. But really, he wants that relationship. I can tell you all the stuff. We can stand up here and teach all day. But unless you pursue that, it's not going to happen. Like Shelby, I could know everything about Shelby. I could know everything she likes, dislikes. But until I talk to her, I'm not going to have a relationship, right? Like before I wanted to date her, I knew stuff about her. But if I never talked to her, that wasn't a real, if I said, yeah, she's my girlfriend. Oh, I'm delusional, right? That's not my girlfriend. I might know, that's the TV show stuff that people get scared at night. You know, oh, I know everything about her. No, you got to enter in this relationship. And that's the same way. So that's the first thing. Next, I want to talk about promises of God and I always lose track because, like, on Wednesdays, it's like start at 7, finish at like 7:20. On Sundays, I'm always like, oh, this means something, I think. No. So, but we're going to go into this. So, next thing is promises of God. And you're like, some people are like, yes, God's given me so many promises. And some people are like, God promised something to me that I never saw fulfilled. And so as we walk this out, I want to kind of talk on both subjects. I'm going to use the story of Joshua. So basically, Joshua, he was part of paraphrasing, don't roast me on this. He was part of a group that went and kind of scouted this area, the Promised Land, right? And he came back giving reports, oh, it's a great place. There's food everywhere. Land for everyone. And then other people came back and said, hey, there's giants in the land. We can't do this. Like, that's impossible. That's nothing. We do not need to go in there, guys. Like, we're all in agreement that we're going to get destroyed. And so what happened is they decided not to go into the promised land, the land that God promised them, right? For 40 years they spent in the desert. And then all of a sudden Joshua's in command, right? It was Joshua's day. And what did God say? He constantly said, be strong and courageous. Because he was supposed to do something. And I love this part of the story. they go in, they see this giant wall, right? And they're like, oh my gosh. And I've watched VeggieTales, so I always get confused. They did not throw slushies at people, but in VeggieTales they did. But and God said, all right, here's what I want y'all to do. I want you to walk around this wall, singing my praise. Last day, blast some trumpets. And me, that does not feel like a plan. That feels like, oh, that's interesting. Like, that's like the plan that someone, hey, I got a plan, let's do this. Hey, no, you go sit over there. You know, we are not taking your plan. The guy who always gives a terrible plan. But God said, hey, this is what you're going to do. And what's crazy is it didn't require them to do anything about the wall. All he wanted to do was see where their heart was. Will you praise me around this impenetrable wall? Will you see that you can't do anything about this wall? And so what I'm calling you to do is walk around this thing and then blast your trumpets. It's like, man, could I have done that with the giants to begin with? Did it require anything out of me? Whenever God promised me this land, did it require anything out of me? No, because it's a promise. What it required is me to be obedient to his will and what he says. And daily, so the goal was not to defeat the giants. The goal was to walk hand in hand with God and try to listen and to hear what he had to say and do what he had for him consistently. And that's all we have to do, right? We just have to walk in this relationship with God and go, God, I think you said this. And sometimes I don't hear God. Sometimes I do hear God right on. You know, at the end of the day, I'm trying. I'm walking this out. I'm trying to connect with God, right? It's all about that. Like, I don't, sometimes I go to the store and try to get Shelby some candy. She doesn't like most of the candy I bring back. Like, I'm like, oh, she likes this one. No, that's actually the one I said I didn't like. Oh, gosh. I knew it had something. I knew you told me something about this. But you know what? She doesn't get upset. I'm trying, right? I'm trying to walk this relationship out. You know, I clean up the house, put everything in the wrong place. I'm trying. Like, that looks like that's where a bowl goes. No, that's where the cups go. Oh, gosh. And so I'm trying to walk this relationship out, right? And it doesn't mean I failed. I didn't fail at the relationship. I'm actually doing really good. I'm walking this out. I'm making an effort to walk this out, right? I think God sees less of success and doing everything perfect, and he sees effort more. And so I felt like God said, you know, basically that what happened with those guys is that they had fear in their lives that kept them out of the promised land, and God's always called that. God gave them that promised land, right? God released them into that. And so if God has a calling and a promise on your life, it's not a fact of if it will happen or how do I make this happen. God told me to do this, so how do I make it happen? It's about walking out and going, God, I don't see the end of this. I don't see how this is going to work, but I trust in you. I trust that you have a better plan than what my reasoning can see, what I can physically see. I do not see how I get from A to B, but in the midst of that, I'm going to follow you and we'll see where we go. I guess the key to that is just understanding that your promises of God are God's given them and he's set them in stone, and that you believe in them and you continue to walk out this relationship with him. Another thing, and I think I got time. So another thing I felt like God told me during this season is he talked to me about what my focus was on. And that's so big in a relationship, right? What my focus is on is what will produce in my life, right? If I focus on fear, oh gosh, this is going to happen. Oh, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my job. I hate my job. I hate my job. I hate my job. Well, I can tell you, I've watched guys do it at many different jobs. They say, you know, I hate this job. No, I'm just kidding. Well, then they say it two times the next day. Then they say it three times. Now, all of a sudden, they just hate their job. And you ask them, why do you hate this job? I don't know, I just hate it. They don't know why, but they brought it up in their life so much that they produced a hate for the job, right? And so I feel like it reminds me of a story of Jacob. He had a father-in-law who always tricked him out of callings or different wages and stuff. And so he's like, hey, well, stay, just help me out. I see an anointing on your life. Every time you touch something, God moves powerfully. So let me just stay. What you name your wage. And he said, you know what? You've tricked me multiple times. So here's what I want. He said, I want all the spotted and speckled sheep. And he goes, okay, yeah, go for it. Because, you know, he's like, all right, that sounds super weird. And I've never even seen a spotted and speckled sheep, so I guess they're rare, you know. But so he goes, all right, so, yeah, you can have them. And he takes all the spotted and speckled sheep, and they remove them from the flock. Well, what Jacob did was he took some branches and cut spots, like took off some of the bark and put it in the water. And so when they drank from the watering hole, they saw themselves. And what they saw themselves, they reproduced. They reproduced spotted and speckled. Soon, the whole flock spotted and speckled. Well, it's because what they saw, they reproduced. And so what you keep in front of yourself, what you continually, if I continually go, God, you're a good God, I know you have greatness and amazing things for me, and I know that you've called me to this place. As I keep that in front of myself, then I'll start to produce that, right? I'll start to reproduce that. I'll start to actually walk out the callings and destinies I have for my life. But if I'm constantly saying there's no way, I'm not going to be able to do this, I'm not going to be able to do that, I can't live out this calling that God has on my life, I'll never get to this place. As you start saying this over your life, you're going to start to see it become real in your life. Because our words have power, you know. And so it's really important that what you focus on, whether it be right now, and soon we're going to have a time to where we can really just sit with God and see what our focus has been, what our relationship with Him looks like, and all these stuff. But I want y'all to, like today, as we go through the day, just go, God, what is my focus on? Am I focused on what you have for me? Or am I focused on all this stuff going on, all this craziness, all this chaos that's going on in the world right now? And the last thing is, and I think this part of it has been kind of misconstrued, like it hasn't been portrayed well. And I felt like God said, and there's a price. There's a price to a relationship with Him. And always, you know, growing up, I've heard, there's a price. You have to get, like, I remember, like me at different youth groups, not this one, different youth groups, and they'd be like, there's a price. You have to lay down. You have to give your life to the Lord. Everything you got, give it to Him. And I'm like, my gosh, this feels like a big commitment for a 12-year-old. I don't think I'm ready for this. Like my heart started fluttering. I'm like, guys, I don't know what anxiety is, but this might be it. I'm like, gosh, that's a lot of pressure. And I was sitting with God talking to Him, and He goes, man, you know, there is a price. So God made you this way, and as life went on, we picked up these different things. We picked up different insecurities. We picked up different judgments about ourselves, and we've all of a sudden set up habit patterns around all these. And so all of a sudden, I feel like I'm a terrible communicator. Therefore, I just shut down. I stop communicating. Slowly but surely, I get to the point where I don't talk to anybody, and when I do, it's really harsh because I'm afraid someone's going to get me or poke fun at my communication skills. I think that's actually something that God worked through me. And I start building this up, right? Well, when God says, hey, when you choose me, you give up your life. I don't give up, like, my love for watching football or going hunting or playing sports. I don't give up. I don't have to go, all right, God, I will never play basketball again. I don't give up those, right? Like, I give up all those insecurities. I give up. What happens is He takes me from the place that I built myself to. He takes me back down to where He built me, and He starts progressing from there, right? Because we all have callings and destinies. I say this all the time because I have youth. And I love saying that to the youth because the more I say it, I feel like it's starting to click. Everyone in here has a calling and destiny on your life. I feel like the lie of insignificance is just, it's terrible, and I never want to hear someone say, well, it doesn't really matter what I think. Because that's a lie. God put you in that place to have an opinion, to bring light to something that I might never even see. And so never, like, don't believe that. Like, you're called to have a voice. You're called to be people, and they're like, well, I'm super quiet. I'm kind of socially awkward. Yeah, I think everyone's a little socially awkward at times. Like, I know I am. So it's all about that walking out and believing that I have a part to play, you know. Like, watch some of these people. I've always wanted to, like, those people who are OCD and they're like, my wife's, I wouldn't say that, but, like, she's, I'm going to tread lightly here, boys. She likes things in their place. And sometimes I'll move a picture just a little bit off just to see it. No joke, she's like, she fixes it every time. It's awesome. It's very cool. But watch one of these guys take a puzzle piece away and watch these guys try to build a puzzle. They're like, hey, there's a piece that's missing. They know there's a piece. Me, I'm like, oh, this is a terrible puzzle. They didn't even send this piece. No, it's just laying right there, Tyler. I'm terrible at puzzles. So basically, they know there's a piece missing. And even if it's a corner piece that not many, or a piece that doesn't even have a face or anything on it, it matters to them, right? When you're putting together, it matters. Like in games, we have them put together puzzles. If they don't put it all together, they don't get to move on. It matters if you know that puzzle piece is there or not, right? And so it's such a big thing that everyone knows that they have a part to play. So what we're going to do now is we're going to move into, so I always like doing this with the youth. So the first thing I talked about was being a son, understanding sonship, right? That's one. Second thing is understanding our promises are like proclamations from God. Our promises have weight that we walk out this relationship with God and we walk into our promises, right? And then the third thing is, what we put our focus on is what we produce. I got distracted. I think my thing got mixed up. Yeah, I see it now. What we put our focus on is what God, what we reproduce, right? And then lastly, that it does have a price. It has everything that's insecure, all these insecurities, all these self-judgments, God wants you to give to Him. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a song, and we're going to give you an opportunity to just, I just want you to take a moment. And those of you who are on Facebook Live, the song is Gratitude by Brandon Lake. It'll cut us off. So if you want to go listen to that, you're more than welcome. But what I want you all to do today is I want you all to take this time to really think about it and go, God, what is my relationship with you look like? Do I have these insecurities that I need to give to you? Do I have these self-judgments? Just ask God to show you what you need to act upon today. Because today is, like I talked about, today we believe that is Commitment Sunday. You know, it reminded me of a picture of college athletes who are going to commit to a school, and they're sitting at a table and they choose this or they choose whatever school. I think God's releasing y'all into ministries, into callings and destinies and relationship. And some of y'all are like, man, I'm not saved. I don't know what this looks like. God's releasing you into, He's calling you into a relationship today. And so what I want you to do today is I want you to sit there and just go, God, what do I have? What are you calling me to commit to today? What are you calling me to give to you today? What does it look like to walk out this relationship? And just really, and guys, and I tell the youth this all the time, really be honest. Like, no, don't do generic answers. Like, seek God on this, because like it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not going to have everyone come up and tell it on the mic. It's between you and God. And really what we're doing is we're encouraging you to take a step into this relationship in a deeper and more intimate way than ever before. So we're going to play this song. And I just want you to be completely honest and vulnerable with God. All right.